Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs,
and welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we discussed the sport with an expert that we don't often chat about, but it is actually very good, quite televisual,
yeah.
Which is drone racing, believe it or not.
Who knew?
Yeah.
It's very popular.
It is, and there's a lot of money in it,
yeah.
And the kids are good at it, as you will discover from one of the team heads. Also, we spoke to the veteran tennis correspondent Barry Flatman about a kind of funny yet worrying story from the lower reaches of the game, which you'll hear. And Andy completely nailed eventually the pronunciation of Time's Person of the Year, but he does struggle with all Scandinavian names. So you'll hear that. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon.
And how was it at the corporate top table last night? You witnessed that all unfold with a prawn cocktail, didn't you?
Well, I did. And thanks very much to Steve Atkins at Chelsea, who got me out of a bit of a hole because I didn't get my tickets. And it was great. I mean, it was very enjoyable. First of all, it wasn't too posh. It wasn't the poshest of the posh, which was nice.
And you weren't in the ballroom.
No, and we were sitting in proper seats. So we just before the game, we had a nice meal and a bit of roast lamb. It was good. Better than Moose's dinner that he had last night. He tweeted it out. The ratio of burger to chips was ridiculous. It was quite a small burger and a massive amount of chips, like four times the amount of chips per burger size.
Oh, really?
Completely bonkers. But
so the burger chips ratio is what you take away from the game last night.
Well, very much
really.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that was my biggest thing. But actually, it's a funny thing. Actually, there's a bloke at Chelsea. What they have, Chelsea, I'm sure other clubs do this as well. They have a sort of designated charity collection for every game because you know they can raise quite a lot of money. A lot of people walking by, and each week it's a different charity. But there's always one bloke there. He's there every week, so you start to think, what's he actually collecting? Is he collecting for himself here? What's going on? So anyway, I was telling the guy I was with last night, and I was telling him about him, and he was standing at the top of the stairs, and he honestly, I swear he did this. He went, homeless, homeless, collection for the homeless. Mental health, like that.
Wow.
Like two different things, I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, you know, the two are not...
Come on.
You know, they can often be linked.
I don't...
You think he's a bit of a scamster,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I thought it was dodgy, and so did my mate that was with
me. Have you
today.
Called him out?
Well, I don't, you know, look, it's not up to me, is it? I'm not the...
Well, it's up to you enough to notice it in the first
place.
Well,
I didn't. I've pointed it out now. I've pointed it out, which is
in your Larry
enough.
David type way. Go and look him in the eyes. Yeah, and look around the eyes, of course.
It was dodgy. Trust you to stick up for him. I promise you, he's there every week. That's not normal. Everybody else does 1 week out of the season.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, about the hospitality is 42 minutes, everybody gets up and goes. She's like ridiculous. And they'll come back about 50. They missed that crucial miss by William when he should have scored and made the second half a lot easier for Chelsea. And then after the game, they'll go off again. You think, how many roast dinners do you want? But it's probably because they're having a drink, I'd imagine.
I see it. It's a fantastic old scam that does the rounds in the Mayfair area of London. Mm. Whenever I'm over there, I see this woman with about three or four young kids in tow, all in fancy dress outfits. And she says, we're collecting for a party.
Oh, yeah.
And so on the third time, I thought, blimey, this is going to be a hell of a party they're having. So I can only guess that she gets the kids out, puts them, dresses them as Buzz Lightyear, and makes a few quid in the evenings, because that party has still not happened yet. Maybe they just have one every week.
I'm sure there's a few people that like a bit of a scam, but it's not fair on people who collect certainly, in genuinely.
It isn't,
it's not right
it's
at all.
It's not good.
Another thing that's not right, but in less so, is the amount of time that's added on at half-time in Champions League games. Last night was ridiculous. It was 45 minutes. That was it. No added time. Well, there were two goals, two VAR checks, two injuries that required the physio, but no added time. Of course, you've got to get those Gazprom ads in.
Yeah.
I'm not cynical or anything.
At
it's
the
pathetic,
game, you were desperate for it to not be any extra time at the end, weren't you, really?
Of course, it was 5 minutes.
Were you getting a bit nervous? I watched the end of the game, and there was always a chance.
No,
but the way things
handled they handled it pretty well. It's just unnecessary. They're Chelsea, but look, this is Chelsea.
It's a young team. Yeah.
It's a young team, and they don't kill teams off, and that's been a problem all season. But it's still enjoyable. They've done very well to qualify in this group. Ajax would be cursing Ross Barkley, because if he scored that pen, they'd be through. Valencia would have had 2 points less, and Chelsea would have won the group and avoided PSG, Bayern, Barcelona, Leipzig, Juventus and Valencia. Slightly difficult group of teams.
Yeah, we've got everybody in that. Apart, we could get Valencia, of course, and you could get Bayern Munich. So let's get this dealt with, Andy. They've been looking at the difficult pronunciations of the year that people constantly get wrong. Mm. And one of them featuring, and she's in the news today, of course, she's Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Greta Thunberg?
I've been going Greta Thunberg. I've gone with a hard TH.
Yeah.
You've really struggled. She's been Greta Thunberg. She's been Len Thunderbird.
Thunberg, but then I heard people calling her Thunberg.
So. Okay, do you want to know how to pronounce it properly?
Yes.
I'll give you three more goes at it. Think outside the box. Look at the name and think how you might attack it. So, what would be the proper way? Thinking that she is, of course, Scandinavian.
Are we thinking T, the last name or the first name or both?
I want both, yeah. Okay, let's have a go at it.
Greta.
Oh, I, Yurovsky. Yeah, that's exactly how you say her first name. Greta, yeah?
Greta.
As in Andy Greta.
Greta Thunberg.
Okay, T-H. Thunberg. You're not far off. Have another go. Greta's right. I'm just looking for the surname now.
Greta.
Try this at home, kids. Shout the radio.
Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg. No. Think of Bjork or whatever you prefer.
Greta Manchester. I've no idea.
Okay, you ready? This is Greta Thunberg.
Oh, Thunberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough, isn't it?
Greta Thunberg.
Thunberg.
Although it's a bit like commentators when they speak to a player.
Yeah.
And then decide that's how they're going to be an outlier.
The
famous Justin Flo in the hands of one commentator. And I can't remember if it was. It might have been Barry. It may be our old mate Motti. He'd obviously spoken to him.
I think it was Motti.
So he came out for a game and he was suddenly Justin Flo. And it did sound a bit odd. So if you want to be an outlier, if you're saying, what about, you could say today, time personally, wasn't it great to see Greta Thunberg? Get it.
That's
bit scouse, isn't it?
I tell you what I did do last night. I was watching the game in the... talking of scouse, I was watching the game with an Everton fan, a friend of Mr. Parry, funnily enough.
Oh, yeah.
And we were sitting there and he was a bit like me. He was doing a bit of bitter rant about Liverpool, how he didn't want them to win anything. We were watching the Liverpool game.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't want Liverpool to win anything and he thought, they were this, that and the other, So suddenly, Salah... That goal.
What a goal, yeah.
What a goal.
Ridiculous angle.
It's ridiculous, and the angle and the eye of the needle. And even he had to admit, he went, yeah, it's quite a good goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
slightly. And then I said to him, look, I'm no great fan, but you've got to admit they're a brilliant team. The best team is the best
team. You're feeling very magnanimous.
I was.
Unlike the other Arthur Mersey side.
I gave him a bit of a serve about Everton. Don't worry about that. Honestly.
So bitter.
No, but it's not. It's just, it's like this, like the star today. Give Big Dunk the job, says, and the two fans have written in and said, give Big Dunk a chance. He's brought the excitement and passion back. You think, yes, but,
that can be diminishing returns,
can't it? It can be.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, this is a story on the face of it.
Yeah.
That is quite humorable, as Stuart Pearce would say.
Yeah, okay.
But scratch beneath the surface. Maybe it's not so funny if you're from the world of professional tennis. There was a game being played in Doha. It's in a futures tournament. It's a kind of pucker tournament. It's not... It's
is
not
it
a grand
like a
slam.
Challenger?
Well, we'll find out from somebody who knows in a moment. And a guy called Arten Barmet played as a Ukrainian. He played Artin Barmet. That's right. He's got a great collection of Barmets. Yeah. But he's a Ukrainian, and he played the first round qualifying game. There was $15,000 up for grabs. And to be honest, he had no concept of the racket. He was blowing into it. He didn't know what he was doing. He got absolutely stuffed by a Thai player who's 1,367th in the world. And he lost all 48 points, a golden match. And at times, he looked like he didn't quite understand the rules of tennis.
You think the bloke would have served a double four? He might have got 1 point.
He didn't know where to stand. He didn't know what to do. And you think, how did this bloke ever get in a proper game of tennis where there was prize money up for grabs? But then suddenly people took to various tennis betting forums, and it seems that's why he was there, to help the boys out. This is what they're claiming, of course. We have no proof of that at the moment. But it's not the first time this sort of thing has happened. Not the first time we've discussed similar stories, maybe not as extreme, with the venerable tennis writer, friend of the show, Mr. Barry Flatman. Good afternoon, Barry.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yeah, here we go again. So we've talked about similar stories to this, as I say, but this is an extreme example. I mean, he didn't know what he was doing by the look of it.
No. I mean, on the face of it, very, very funny. You can make a few jokes, but as you say, scratch a little deeper and it is rotten, really. You know, we've known for a long time that there is dubious betting circles going on in the former Soviet Union, in Asia, and I think this is just another case of it, really. Our friend Mr. Bamet, Artem Bamet, Ukrainian, 22 years old. As you say, on the footage that appears on the internet, looks as if he's never held a tennis racket before in his life. And Kritin Kayakul, the Thai gentleman, could not have believed his luck. 48 points, golden match. It has happened before, but it hasn't happened for quite a time. And it seems that Artem was put there by a betting cartel. And he's now quite proudly proclaiming that he's still at the tournament and is giving anyone advice that wants to listen.
It only cost £27, according to the TalkSport website, enter this particular tournament. And, and not much of a crowd in either, so it's all a bit odd.
Yeah, it's quite a low turnout.
How much, I mean, it's interesting, I know people bet on the most obscure things ever, but it doesn't seem like it would be a big betting event.
Yeah, but I mean, this is not, I suppose it's almost set up as a betting event. That's the more worrying thing. It's not if you happen
That's
upon
worrying.
This game.
Well, so you could bet that Artem would lose every point.
Well, I mean, this is what, if we believe what they were saying on one of the forums afterwards, it says bets on this match paid for a trip for two people to Doha and a week in an excellent hotel. This is only part of the potential. All week, Artem will be at the tournament, give forecasts from the courts, and next week will again play in qualifications and bet against themselves.
Oh, it's surely got to be banned.
Well, I mean, these are claims, of course. We have no hard evidence of this, but it's sort of anecdotally, it's worrying, isn't it?
The root of the problem, gentlemen, is that to blame the person, if you really want to blame somebody, blame the International Tennis Federation. Because they, several years ago, did a deal to stream the scoring rights so they could link up with various betting websites to a company called Sports Radar. And the ITF glean $14 million a year on that deal. Now, it's been said many times, last year that there was an end of a long-running independent review into corruption tennis, and Adam Lewis, QC, a venerable London lawyer, recommended that deal should be ripped up immediately. It's still in place.
That's not good.
And the ITF are quite happy to be pocketing $14 million per annum from Sport Radar. Now, if that deal was immediately ended, then a lot of this problem would be finished.
Yeah,
it's not good for tennis, it isn't. And
no, it's awful for tennis. And you know, tennis spent £20 million, and that's a conservative estimate. It's probably more than that, over a very long time, getting this independent review into corruption carried out by Mr. Lewis QC. And has tennis learnt from it? Has the ITF learned from it? Clearly not.
No, worrying tale, Barry. Thanks very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Barry, I'd give Flatman Artem there. A good game, seriously.
I think, you give Artem a
match. Honestly, he looks like the sort of player, you know, the bloke who watches Wimbledon and thinks, well, I must have a game of tennis down the park and finds an old wooden racket.
No, he doesn't. He goes straight off to a sports shop and spends 300 quid on a racket. He gets all the clothes. He's sweat-banded up. He's got a tracksuit. And he can't play.
He's got a real frying pan serve. Yeah, he really has. I mean,
yes. Didn't win a point. Not one point in the whole game.
With one arm on, he's a complete air shot.
Look at that serve. It's very sketchy business.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Now, we turn to a sport we don't often cover, and it's drone racing. And we do this because... but you brought it up the other day.
I enjoyed watching it on TV a couple of years back.
It works very well on telly. You wouldn't think it's
very exciting.
No, it is. I was pleasantly surprised as well. Someone I'm sure is a big fan of it is from X-Blade's drone racing team. Richard D'Arriguez is the founder and CEO of X-Blades. Richard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, Paul and Andy.
Wow, yes. As I said, I was very impressed with it from a televisual point of view. How did you get involved in it?
Well, I got involved all the way back in kind of late 2015, actually. I've been a filmmaker and was doing a lot of aerial drone work. And one of my friends said, look, you know, you love racing, you love motorsport. Have you checked out this drone racing? And started getting into it and then thought, wow, this has huge potential as a sport. And we formed X-Blades towards the end of 2015 to go off to the very first big race, which was the World Drone Prix in Dubai with $1 million prize money. And the British team X-Blades went off and won that first race. And since then, we've been racing all around the world in 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. And, you know, fantastic to say a British team has been winning all the major championships around the world and is the number one team.
Fantastic.
I would imagine this is a bit like Formula One in as much as you've got to get the fastest drone, but also the best driver. Best, you know,
exactly.
Operator.
Yeah, it's very much like that. I've worked a lot in Formula One and in MotoGP, and we based our team very much around the great British teams like McLaren and Williams. And yeah, it's about getting the best talent, and then we build all our own race drones. So we have lots of partners, very much like a Formula One car, lots of different specialist component parts. And yeah, it's about the best drone, the best strategy, and the best talent. Very much like Formula One.
And there's some, as there often is in a lot of sport, there's some some young, very young people involved in the sport. Been reading about 15-year-old Luke Bannister.
Yeah, well Luke was 15 when he won the World Drone Prix, and actually Luke's been a great success, you know, great success story. He's a fully professional pilot. So he's been winning races all around the world. He's had endorsements and contracts with Spin Master, Mountain Dew, you know, some great brands there. And right now, he's a Breitling ambassador.
Right.
So he's one of the top Breitling guys, along with the kind of the Brad Pitts of this world. And that's where Breitling see the future of drone racing. So he's done a great job. He splits his time between drone racing and doing amazing aerial cinematography. So a lot of the pilots do filming as well.
Yeah. Where would the documentary business or indeed any film making now be without the drone? Really? Do you think about how expensive it used to be if you wanted a shot like that, Richard? Obviously, you're a filmmaker. You know, if you could even send a helicopter up in certain places, it would cost a fortune. If you could get permission, and it was in the budget, but it's transformed it, isn't it? So I think these days you get aerial shots of things you would never have got otherwise.
Yeah, and what's really exciting is in the way that you know. The huge progression of the kind of the combustion engine has been pushed forward by great competition. You know, you've got Formula One, you've got Paris-Dakar for lorries, you've got Le Mans for endurance and MotoGP. Well, with drone racing, it's very interesting because that technology, that applied technology, is also moving across into the filmmaking. So you think that drones used to be flown by line of sight, which is the normal way you fly, like a typical DJI drone. All our pilots fly by what's called first-person view, FPV. And that's because they fly through their goggles as if they're sat in the drone. So that means now the shots you can get are amazing because you're not restricted by that line of sight. You can actually fly through things and over objects and under objects and get very close to the action.
Now, can you clear up something for us? Because there was a report in the Times, only a small report, and it said that the... was this in error? Because it said that the contest took place in the Romanian salt mines.
That did happen, I can tell you that.
And then it
says
some 180,000 people watched the final, which was broadcast live on the Champs-Élysées. We couldn't believe that 180,000 people would assemble to watch a drone race in a salt mine.
But these were different events from what we understand, is
that
right?
Yeah, I'm afraid the Times didn't really do their homework for once. To start with, I'll put a few facts right here. Yes, the race was spectacular in the sense it was 150 meters underground in a salt mine, so it was like a journey through the center of the earth. And it was live streamed to many, many hundreds of thousands of fans. You know, I think our final last year in 2019 hit about 900,000, and this year it's still growing. But the reference to the Champs-Élysées is actually another race we had there. So we actually raced the Drone Champions League back there in 2017. And then what happened is we closed down the Champs-Élysées and we had 180,000 live spectators. So that was actually a live spectators who watched the drone race, 180,000.
Right. So if someone has a drone and enjoys kind of flying them and they want to do this competitively, I mean, what's the route in? Is it difficult?
Well, the wonderful thing is there's a very low barrier to entry compared to most sports. You know, it's also accessible for all ages, all sexes, and all capabilities, which makes it really exciting. To give an example, our top female pilot, whose flight handle is called Milk, she's actually from Thailand, and she's the current FAI world champion, and she's only 12 years old.
Wow.
And then we have very young talent coming in from around the world. And you can get in at grassroots level. So you can go down to your national club, like in Britain, or lots of local clubs. It's great in the way it ticks all the boxes of STEM because, you know, kids have to learn how to build their drones. They get their carbon fiber frames. They build up their motors. They solder. They learn about a bit of programming and tuning all their PIDs. And then they go off and fly and compete. And the great buzz about it is, compared to, you know, your normal esports or video games, the adrenaline buzz is so much bigger. So as soon as the kids start flying, they start realizing, wow, this is real. I can see this lifetime. Emotionally, I'm feeling as buzzed as I would if I was doing a really big adrenaline sport. But of course, it's very safe.
Mm. And any big events planned for the UK at all, Richard, finally?
Well, you know, I have to say, and I'm a little shout out to the UK, but it's been a little bit frustrating and quite hard. You know, we're one of the best team in the world, arguably, and you know, the Koreans get hugely supported and have lots of finance and support, and so do the Americans and the Chinese and many countries. But in Britain, it's been quite difficult, maybe the culture of the moment, with so much going on in our own country, to kind of get, you know, sporting bodies and brands and sponsors behind it. You know, we've done some host racing. We've done one in Wembley a couple of years ago. But at the moment, probably the biggest thing we're going to have is we're probably going to have a big DCL draft selection, a sim selection in London next year in 2020. And we're also talking to a number of partners about putting on some demonstration drone racing in the UK, which would be great, you know.
Excellent.
The national competitions are there, but, you know, we want to do something really spectacular at a very big professional level.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Breaking news on TalkSport.
Yeah, there's some breaking news, and I'm just getting it in front of me. And the breaking news is, the producers just put it in front of me. The breaking news is, Torquay United have signed Forest Green midfielder Lloyd James on loan. It's not breaking news, is it?
It is. To be fair, I've gone straight, like all Torquay fans, and I consider myself one now, have gone straight onto YouTube to see what we've got. And it's got Lloyd James goals, 2013 to 2016.
Played for Wales under 21s, 31
only
years
old. Only 188 views so far.
Played at Southampton.
I think we'll get a few more.
The O's, Exeter City, Colchester. And bringing some much needed experience. A calm
it's gone
head.
Up to 191 views.
A calm head into a young side. So I can't believe that's breaking news. But anyway, our producer's a Torquay fan. So we are duty bound, really, to bring that to you. But good luck.
Nice finish.
Good luck. Good signing there by
just
Gary.
Some of his goals.
And good luck to Lloyd. Anything else?
Excuse
yeah,
me.
That's all right.
No problem.
Now,
all.
Andy, a bit of a regular thing you like to know is you're getting to a certain age, and you always like to know the secrets of people who live to 100 years old and get that coveted telegram.
Porridge and whiskey, I've never
Well, porridge and whiskey, maybe, but Anne Callender from Stanmore in Middlesex, right? You're a fan of hers?
Yeah.
Yeah, this time of year, she's very popular, of course. She said, I'm going to be 100...
Anne Callender.
This could keep you alive, mate. Listen to this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 100 years old next week.
Oh, that's nice.
She says, I eat what I like. She eats what she likes. Anne Callender.
She eats what she likes.
She said, be it meat or fish, hot or cold, sweet, sour or salty, fattening or not, fried, boiled or baked. She says, I drink in moderation and take the odd pill for backache or a touch of sleeplessness.
Yeah.
I do the crossword in the Telegraph and other puzzles.
That keeps the brain going.
And I enjoy arguing about politics with members of the family. Could my longevity be attributed to my lifestyle? And she seems to have quite a balance, normal, what you would call a normal lifestyle.
Or your genes.
You think you always think it's genetic, don't you?
It's mostly genetic, right? Genetic.
I'm just reading on social media via this came via our old mate Chas Nuki Burden. I think somebody retweeted on here. Apparently, a new turn of phrase, a bit of Cockney rhyming slang. If you say someone's gone Kevin. Oh, yeah, I've just heard he's gone Kevin.
He's gone Kevin.
Kevin Keegan, vegan.
Oh, I see. Kevin Keegan, vegan.
We can add that to the vernacular. If you know someone who's gone Kevin, you can use that one.
Good. Now, congratulations to the good people at Moschino, the fashion house, for designing possibly the stupidest jacket of all time. It's basically as if Warwick Davis was wearing a jacket designed for The Rock.
Yeah.
Or giant haystacks.
Is that really...
That is a jacket.
That's just not an oversized jacket, no.
Well, it's ridiculous. That's more than oversized, isn't it? It's absolutely
How does
bonkers.
It stay on your shoulders? It is. It's basically a jacket that's about 10 sizes too big.
Well, more than 10. It's not great. Not practical, is it?
But how do you keep it on?
I don't know.
How much does it cost, Andy?
Didn't actually say. It's, that's it.
What a terrible idea.
One in six Brits think that sprouts grow on vines or underground. Underground. How does that work?
Yeah.
Now they're on stalks. You can see them, can't you, on the stalks?
You certainly can. Some people prefer them on the stalks, don't they?
Yeah, I don't see why that would help.
Do you know there is this fine website, you probably see it on social media, Lost Footballs as well. They do an excellent calendar, which
they
we
came
recommend.
In.
Yeah, they've come in, the Lost
Anne
Football
loves it.
Guys. Sorry?
Anne loves it.
Who? Anne who?
Anne Callender.
Oh, of course, 100, happy 100th birthday, Anne. Well, I may be sending them this picture, although So there's a bit of a flip side to the story. Sleaford Church facing expensive repair bill after Yobs, it says, boot Yobs. Football through stained glass window.
Oh, no.
So it seems some kids were playing in the churchyard, kicking a ball about. And Andy, I'll show you the picture. And look, there it is. The ball embedded, and it's been kept there. The ball has been embedded and sat in the window.
That's perfect for them. They'll love that.
Kept there, but it's not perfect for the church.
No, I'm
though,
not saying
it?
This, but you mentioned the people of the thing. I'm saying
I'll send it off to Lost Footballs, but they say, I mean, they've said disrespectful Yobs kicked the ball. No, we don't know if it was an accident or whether...
It's a disgrace. And
they did it on purpose.
You know, these stained glass windows are works of art. They take a lot of replacing. No, I'm not downgrading the offence. I'm just saying for the people, good people of those Lost ball calendars. It's perfect.
Well, I'll send it off to them. They, the young, when they went out, as often as the case, you hear the tinkering the glass, in this case, stained glass, and you rush out the church. People were there at a service when it happened. Suddenly, this football got embedded in the stained glass. They stuck in the lead. But the kids had scarpered, as kids do, of course.
Well, they would do, wouldn't they?
That's what you have to do. You smash a window and you scarper, don't you?
That's a tradition.
That's what you do, of course. Yeah, yeah.
You see the labelling of food with the walking needed to work off the calories, I think you're bringing it in. But it's really fairly pointless. If you're the sort of person who eats 4 to 6 bags of crisps a day, you probably don't exercise. You're probably not going to exercise, are you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you can run them off, can't you? It is quite... I mean,
you can't run off 6 bags of crisps.
Well, you can. It'd just take you 3 hours. And I say it's a 30 bag of crisps is... A bog standard bag, not your family size.
Bog standard bag.
They reckon it's a 31 minute walk.
Yeah.
Brisk 31 minute walk. I said, what happens if you're eating a bag of crisps while you're walking for half an hour? I suppose that you're just, it's well, you perfect, just, isn't it?
You get rid of it and you're putting it back. That's
the way it
goes.
That's the way to do it.
Now, we enjoyed the hospitality of Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs when we were up in Manchester.
Well, they didn't pay for it.
But we enjoyed their restaurant.
Well, yeah, in the restaurant that they owned. I wouldn't say it was their hospitality.
No, all right. That's probably not the right way to
put it. No, it wasn't, was it? No. Make it sound like we were on the payroll. We went in and we spent our own money.
We did spend our own money. We went there.
We put money in their pockets. They should be thanking us. Never mind you coming on here thanking them.
I'm about to defend them. Okay. I thought it was pretty decent. The restaurant was nice. The hotel.
Yeah. Staff were nice. Yeah.
Staff were nice. It has really beautiful graphics on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
But diners have given the hotel eatery run by Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs a kicking for screening football on giant TVs. Customers who fork out...
They're not going to show drone racing, are they? It's Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs. It's called Hotel Football, isn't it?
No. Now, this is their... the restaurant, the Bull and Bear, which is overseen by celebrity chef, guest on the show, Tom Kerridge, of course.
Yeah.
£24 for a steak, £5.50 for a side of chips. And the people who are paying this are not happy to find 8 screens at the ex-footballer Stock Exchange Hotel in Manchester, which is where this restaurant is based. One wrote on TripAdvisor, which is basically, you might as well just forget this whole report. I'm still shocked. Why ruin such a beautiful space with large TV screens showing sports channels? Why go into a place that's owned by 2 footballers and not expect them to show football?
If I was going to their high end restaurant, I wouldn't necessarily expect the football to be on. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but I wouldn't necessarily have an expectation. If I'm going to, you know, cafe football, I'm expecting to see some football. I think the clue's in the name.
But another reviewer said the sight of Gary on every screen in the morning was off-putting. The critic gave the hotel the thumbs up but added, over my breakfast kedgeree, Neville's face filled every
over
screen.
Over my breakfast kedgeree,
mate. That's
what
I hate about TripAdvisor. I mean, I watched this brilliant film about
over
this.
Over my breakfast kedgeree.
This guy, he's the food critic of the LA Times. He's an amazing guy. And when he reviews a restaurant, he doesn't write the review until he's been there 10 times, because he wants to make sure he's tried everything, that it wasn't a bad day, it wasn't an off day, it wasn't a particularly good day. So when you read a review by him, it's a genuine review by somebody who's an expert, not some bloke who just turned up and felt like they'd gone onto a website and say, oh, his face would ruin my kedgeree. Honestly, don't ever bother.
Okay.
That'd be my view.
There we are, Andy, old business model there destroyed in seconds. But well, a lot of people do hold it. Sort of great story.
Well, they're making a huge mistake.
Okay, well, the oracle has spoken there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Here we are.
So, yeah, old Gruta, she'd be a very good...
back to square one.
She'd be a tremendous drone racer.
Gruta. That's us. We return tomorrow. Adam Hills from the last leg is starting to play a bit of rugby league once again. So he'll be telling us more about that and the documentary off the back of it tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.